Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon, or good morning, actually, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm JJ Jank, your host for Brain Power Up. And our topic today is wellness and preventing burnout. And our leading lady today is Rachel Bain with BS on Burnout. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me, JJ.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Rachel Bain is a nationally board-certified health and wellness coach and business psychologist who works with individuals and businesses to bring awareness to the dangers of burnout and empower them to design a life they don't need a vacation from. Which is interesting because I just went on vacation. As a firm believer that health and success are not mutually exclusive, Rachel helps her clients find alignment between personal and professional fulfillment. So Rachel, on your, I was looking at your website and I noticed that you and I have a lot in common. Obviously I'm doing it in the service of productivity, but you're talking about burnout. And we both talk about sleep and the importance of nutrition. And also the importance of setting boundaries. So start us off with telling us a little bit about how your work with both individuals and organizations helps prevent burnout.
Sure. Well, and I am a big fan of vacation, so let's just be clear.
Okay.
It's not about like, I think what I mean by that, and I've tweaked it since, right, is this idea where you're living just for the weekend, right? Or like this idea that somehow we've all bought into, well, not all of us, but many of us have bought into where adulthood is just like a 45 plus year daily grind, but with the occasional like PTO should you choose to take it. But even then, people are working through PTO, right? So it's this idea that like you're not like every day you feel like you have the energy to not just get through it, but like enjoy life, right? Where you don't feel like you have to choose between professional success, however you define it, and personal success, personal health.
Gotcha.
And so I think that's where we both talk, in our own ways about sleep and movement and exercise and nutrition and setting boundaries so that you can do all of those things, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, and so to your question, there's a lot of similarities actually between working with individuals and working with organizations. And, for the nerdy folks like me and you, we can say it's a blend of systems and design thinking, right? But what that means in like non-wonky talk is understanding your goals, your values, and where you're like, what needs to change, and then figuring out how to make that happen. So if it's the individual, you're going to have different phases of life where different things matter more to you than others. And so it's just being real with yourself and getting clarity on what that is, figuring out, all right, well, what needs to change then so that I'm living in more alignment with my values? And am I ready to make that change? If the answer is yes, then, okay, what's the first step, the second step, the third step I need to take to make that happen? With organizations, it's the same thing. You have a mission, you have goals, presumably a viable business is one of them, right? But then you have all of these employees. And I think often business leaders have this fear that when we talk about, maybe not so much burnout prevention, but like phrases that can be used in place of employee wellness, employee experience, that we're saying you need to not have your employees work. They should be able to slack off and play and take naps, and like somehow the business is magically going to stay afloat. Like that's not what we mean, right? We mean that like there's a great analogy that Christina Maslach and her colleagues use in talking about burnout, which is about the canary in the coal mine, right? So if the coal mine is the organization and the canaries are the employees, for a long time, this idea is, well, we'll just send in more canaries, or we'll just make the canaries more resilient so that they can better stay in the mine. And it's like, I think people are starting to realize that they're going to run out of canaries if they keep doing that. And so let's make the mine better. And that's where, you know, I come in, and you know, my colleagues in this space that are looking at organization development, is, you know, the onus can't just be on the employees, right? Like, yes, we need to empower them. We need to teach them about how to take care of their holistic well-being and all of these things. But if they don't work in a place that allows them to take time to do it, it doesn't matter how many yoga classes you offer. If they don't feel like they can step away from work, or they know if they come back, they're going to be more stressed out to return to this pile of work, they're not going to use the PTO. If they're not in a psychologically safe enough workplace to even have this conversation, then everything is moot. And so it's really looking at the company's values and mission, the culture, the workload and distribution, and then also the individuals. It's those three things that typically contribute to burnout, you know, issues within the individual. Whether the individual fits, you know, is there alignment between their values and the organization? Do the skills match the work? Is the work evenly distributed, et cetera, et cetera? So work issues, and then cultural issues. And so we have to look at all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. I hadn't really heard the canary in the coal mine analogy before. So that's an interesting one. But yeah, definitely, like, you know, your canaries are passing out all the time. That's telling you that there's something wrong with the mine. But
yeah,
and I agree. Like I kind of see a little bit of that. Like when I'm working with productivity, because I've actually had when I go into the business, you know, I've had people tell me, you know, I don't want to learn how to be more productive because that just means I have to do more stuff, which isn't my view of productivity, but it's certainly a view of productivity that's out there, along with you're kind of talking about. You know, the companies, you know, kind of giving like a yoga class on the one hand, and then on the other hand, you know, there are bosses that are sending emails at, you know, 11 o'clock at night or 3 o'clock in the morning, to their employee. And even if the employees like aren't necessarily expected to answer the emails, they still get freaked out because they're getting an email from the boss at 11 o'clock at night.
Absolutely.
That's one of the boundaries to help people set, you know, is, and also not being constantly turned on to, what work is going on, or feeling like there's work coming at you all the time. I would imagine that also, in addition to reducing productivity, I would imagine that also kind of helps burnout along as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you have to look at both sides, right? Why is the boss sending the emails at that time? And why is the employee having the reaction they're having? And I mean, and I say that with zero judgment on either end, right? So the boss, that might be, look, we all have peak hours where we are our best. And I mean, and I do work
exactly
with some
night
owls, right? Like I do work with some night owls. They're business owners or senior executives. And they're like, sometimes this is when I'm at my best, and it's like, great, very few other people are, so can you schedule that email, right? Can you just like jot down your stuff and reference it later? My dad, who is a phenomenal attorney and helped run various offices, he once said, well, you know, your email to other people shouldn't be your own to-do list. And I've never forgotten that. I thought that was really, really powerful. Yeah,
that's,
I know.
Great. I love that. I'm
hopefully
taking that
he won't
me.
Mind. I quoted him on the show. But I, you know, he always had these little gems, and that was that was one of them that really stuck with me. And so it's, okay, why are you sending this? Like, is this even an email that needs to go out, or is it really an email to you, or like something that should be in your task list? And then right. you schedule it to deliver it at normal business hours. On the employee
exactly.
side, you know, are you being triggered by this because you came from, like, even if this work culture here isn't an always on culture, so they don't
right.
think anything of sending it because they assume everybody's cool and just knows that, like, well, if you're after hours, you're after hours. But you came
right.
from a place that was so toxic, you carried that baggage with you? Or are you in an environment where, JJ, I love your
it
phrase
is
of
toxic
productivity, right, where it is that toxic? We got to look at the whole thing. We got to unpack it all.
Yeah, yeah. All right, and now we're going to take a quick moment to recognize one of our sponsors and partners. Women Lead Radio is brought to you today by Connected Women of Influence and our partner, National University. National University is proud to be one of the largest private nonprofit universities, founded in 1971. The National University mission is to provide accessible, achievable higher education to adult learners. Today, National University educates students from across the U.S. and around the globe with over 170,000 alumni worldwide. Thank you for your support, National University, and to all of our sponsors and partners. Now back to our show. Welcome back to Brain Power Up, and with us today is Rachel Boehm. And I'm just going to ask you real quick, I will ask you again towards the end, but if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to reach you?
The best way is just go to my website. There's all the social channels. And a link to even book a free strategy call. So that's rachelboehm.com, and I spell it E-L, so rachelboehm.com.
Perfect. Okay. And then I have another question for you. So we were talking about wellness and we were kind of talking about wellness on the organization side. So going back
mm-hmm.
over a little bit to the individual side. So when we're talking
yeah.
wellness, are we really just talking exercise, nutrition, and stress management? Is that really what individual wellness is all about?
That's what a lot of people think it's all about.
Yeah.
You know, depending on the model you look at, there are five to seven plus wedges, if you will,
right.
to the
yeah.
wellness wheel, right? And so for the listeners, if you're familiar with Trivial Pursuit, I often use this analogy of the Trivial Pursuit game piece, right?
I don't know if we're dating ourselves, but yeah.
I probably just did. Look, like at least I think the joke, right, is I called it a PowerPoint instead of a slide deck. At least I call it a slide deck, but... but you have to fill up every wedge of the Trivial Pursuit game piece to win the game, right? Same thing
yeah.
with well-being. So if you think about, you have this pie, you have all these wedges, you got to fill up each wedge, each pie piece. So there's physical, but there's also emotional. There's purpose, there's
mm-hmm.
spiritual, depending on which word works better for you. There's intellectual,
mm-hmm.
which is not the same as, you know, your work or vocation and so forth. Financial.
Right.
And the ones you just mentioned all fall in the physical. So if you're only looking
right.
at exercise, nutrition, and stress, I mean, yes, that bleeds into emotional. Everything is connected. But even sleep, that's in the
mm-hmm.
physical wedge, right? So you're
right.
not even looking at, do I continue to challenge and learn new things, like challenge my mind, learn new
right,
things,
right,
engage
right.
in leisure? Do I have social connections? There's a
mm-hmm.
whole breadth, and you really need all of that to feel like you're living a satisfied life, to feel like you have this full well-being that we're talking about, so that you can be productive in a non-toxic way, so that you can avoid burnout.
Yeah. And let me ask you, you know, while we're kind of
yeah.
talking about burnout, like what are some of the signs that somebody
mm-hmm.
might be heading for burnout?
You know, it can look and feel different for different people, but, you know, obviously the one that everyone thinks of is like this exhaustion, overwhelm,
mm-hmm.
just stressed out. But it can
mm-hmm.
also look like, wow, they've kind of just lost their mojo, right? If you are noticing a colleague or your employee who's kind of procrastinating, and usually they didn't, they
mm.
feel like they're just not passionate about the work.
Mm-hmm.
You notice a friend who used to be, you know, they used to play a rec I don't know, rec soccer, or they had all these interests and they've now pulled back from all of them because they're so busy, because work. So it's these changes in behaviors, right?
Okay.
So just look for changes in behaviors. You know, some that those are going to start to signal at least something is off. It may not be burnout, but it could be starting the stages of burnout. The other one to look out for is that ideal worker. So not, again, automatically burnout, but just a sign that they could be setting themselves up for that. It's that person that's always saying, yes, they'll do it. The person that you're looking at and going, I don't know how they do that. Like, how do they do it all? Either they're actually not doing it all and they're delegating and they have boundaries because they learned the hard way, or they're burning out trying to do it all. So just be mindful of those things.
Excuse me. Yeah, that's a, you know, I'm glad you brought that one up because I wouldn't have necessarily thought of that. I mean, it totally makes sense now that you say that. And when you're working with individuals and organizations, are you touching on all of the pieces of the pie, or do you sort of say, well, you know, intellectual stimulation is something that you need, you know, we'll just kind of know that that's a piece of the pie, but then go on to work in other areas? Or?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, so, you know, it depends on, like, say for the individual, it depends on, we always do an assessment to see, right? And then if they're high on that area, then it's like, awesome, let's, you know, keep that up. Where are we, you know, that's working well.
Right.
How can we do, you know, not necessarily more of that, but like, as we add to it, how do we make sure that that at least stays where it is, like stays the same? If it's, you know, in the organization, you know, it's driven a lot by what is the organization ready for. If they're not ready to look at some of those areas, then we're not going to look at some of those areas, right? I mean, you have to balance what you see as a consultant, but also what the client can do. And the worst thing is for an organization to start, you know, to ask their employees, like in a survey, would you be up for any of these, or what do you think? And start asking them questions that they're not ready to take action on. It makes it worse. So.
Right. And when you go into organizations, they often have something like, do they offer things like yoga classes or, you know, like maybe a discount at the local gym? Or when you go in, are they just kind of like, yeah, we know we need to do something, but we have no idea what?
Yes. usually they're doing something. Usually is like one of those things. You know, even so Kaiser does their employee health benefits survey every year.
Right.
I forget when they started, but, you know, even the one for 2023 showed small to large businesses, they're all doing something. But even Kaiser has kind of defined an employee wellness program as just looking at the physical. So,
right.
You know, it's really not the fault of companies because the conversation that they're being told to have is kind of that limited viewpoint. No offense to Kaiser, but I mean, they're a health insurance company, so that's kind of makes sense.
Right.
But,
that's what they're going to focus on. Yeah.
So they're doing something. It's just, again, it's very individual focus, and often what you're hearing the employees say is, I don't need you to remind me to stretch. Like, I need you to give me the resources to do my job, and I will be less stressed out.
Right. I need you to not email me at 3 a.m. in the morning. I'll be a lot less stressed out when you stop doing that.
Right. Or stop telling me to do more with less. Or, like, maybe not a four-hour meeting every week, so that we're having more and more meetings all the time, right? And there's less time then to do our jobs, or there's like, you might, you know, depending on how the office is set up or if it's hybrid, remote, whatever, you know, do you have time for people to have focused work? Or even I was working in an organization before I went, you know, into my own practice. And I would have the do not disturb on, and people would still like Skype me or Teams me or whatever. And I'm like, seriously, like, I don't like, but if you logged off, it looked like you weren't working because they were monitoring that. And so then it was like, you kind of just
Yeah.
And it's happening more and more. Right. And so it's just really conversations. And this goes into cultures and expectations and just communication. Like, it's communication 101, right? Like, what are you, you know, I guess verbally and kind of non-verbally communicating to your employees what the norms are.
Yeah, that's one thing. I expect you probably see this a lot, where the executives are saying stuff like, "Oh, yeah, you know, we absolutely encourage our employees to take all of their PTO," and then the executives themselves are never going on vacation. So it's kind of like, they're verbally saying one thing, but you know, people are looking at what people look at. What does the boss do? And if the boss never takes vacation, then it's kind of an unwritten rule that no, you don't get to take vacation either.
Exactly, or they're working on their vacation. And I think, you know, to be fair to the managers, especially the mid-level managers, I mean, they're squeezed on both sides. And you know, again, this is where it really helps to work with a consultant and or coach, depending on the circuit, the, you know, what we're talking about. But the assumption is going to be, like, we judge other people based on what we see and presume.
Right.
Because we don't know what their intentions are. Like, we know our own intentions, so we can judge ourselves based on what we meant. Right. But we don't know that for other people unless you have a conversation. And so if I saw my boss telling me, like, we love, you know, go, you're important, we care, like, go take your PTO, but they don't, or they're working the whole time, you know, yeah, I might not feel comfortable and I might think, well, you're not doing it, and feel judgy about it and not feel like I can do it. But they're probably thinking, I can't take time because I need to make sure everybody else feels like they have time. And so I don't want an executive to be listening to this and being like, wow, they just beat up on me. Like, to be fair, there's probably some other reason, right? I don't think anybody
absolutely
be a jerk, right? Like, there's some reason why it's happening. And it's probably just a miscommunication, right? Or or this feeling like you yourself can't delegate because of some other issues going on. And so, again, it just comes back to, like, can we make it a safe enough place where we peel back these layers so that the executives feel comfortable setting that, being that role model for what they want to see, so that then the next level down managers feel like they're not being squeezed from both sides, and so on and so forth.
And and I mean, you know, a lot of times executives don't feel like they can take vacation because they, they have issues with delegating, or they're, you know, afraid that things won't get done. And, you know, I think some of the blame can also be put to organizations that have, you know, learned to run lean on employees, and maybe you actually need to hire somebody instead of piling one employee with three different jobs, or one executive with three different jobs, you know, maybe hire another one.
You know, it's interesting. There's a book called Scaling Up Excellence, and they, they talk about this where, you know, some organizations, they're afraid to hire prematurely for fear of, like, there not being enough work. So they wait until, like, everybody's just beyond
overloaded,
and then make the case for and it's like, it's like, if you can see that coming, it's actually better to go ahead and hire the person, because then you have time to train them before you're bringing them into, like, the fire, right.
And hopefully also bring them in before everybody else gets so overloaded that they get burned out as well.
Right, because then you're going to bring them in, and they're like, okay, can you train this person? You're like, seriously, I have, like, there's a dumpster fire going on. Like, I can't train them right now. So it's just better for everyone if you can. I mean, there's a sweet spot, right? So it's not like, oh, there's going to be work for you in a year, right? But it's, hey, I think we're a couple months out from things really being tight. Let's go ahead and get someone onboarded, because it's going to take time to truly onboard them correctly.
Yep. It's going to take them that couple of months. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then, God forbid, you hire the wrong person. You know, so if you really wait until it's too late and you end up making a flash hiring decision, which hopefully no one does, but we know what happens, and you hired the wrong person, okay, well, you've onboarded them. Things are starting to maybe even out, hopefully, but probably not if it's the wrong person. And now you've got to start over again. And so now you're not just a couple months behind the curve, you're double that behind the curve. Cause now you've got to let go, you know, all the things that happen with turnover. So,
yeah. And I think sometimes there's an issue with sunk costs there too, because you're like, oh, I spent all this time and this money onboarding this person. Maybe they just need a little bit more training, or maybe they need something a little bit different. Rather than just being the wrong person. I mean, the one thing I took from corporate America was to treat the 90-day, you know, kind of provisional window seriously, that if you're having an issue with an employee doing dumb, the first 90 days are not ever going to work out.
Absolutely.
And at the same
time,
employees themselves should be like, yeah, you know, if I'm still feeling terrible and, you know, this job doesn't seem right, like, that's not going to get better in 90 days either.
No. Yeah. And I think employees need to remember that they do have that power there. That it's not just a trial for the organization, right?
Right.
It's a trial for you too. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I feel like there have been labor markets where that's been harder to see, but I think at this point, you know, and especially after the pandemic, when so many people kind of, to get back to what you were saying earlier, really kind of reconnected with their values and their alignment and said, you know, is this really what I want to be doing? And you had mentioned different stages of life. And I definitely think there's a stage at midlife where you say, really, this is it. This is what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I don't know that I want to do this anymore. And that's kind of getting back in line with your values and things too, to look around and say, is this really the life that I wanted? And if the answer is no, then you have to go through that kind of reckoning, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, I've done it and it's terrifying. Like, it is scary. So,
right.
You know, we're not sitting here
right.
for the listener, right? We're not sitting here taking back thinking
like
this
oh,
is
it's
super
so
easy.
Yeah.
Why aren't you doing it? Yeah. It's like, we know that it's why you and I like do the work we do, is to guide you through it.
exactly.
And the other thing I would say to that is, you know, just to also be realistic, right? When we're talking about the power dynamics, you know,
yeah,
both, one of the most important things I ever learned, and it took me a long time to learn it, is that the organization and the employer, the recruit, do hold power.
Right.
Now, more broadly, the market will tell you, oh, it's a higher, you know, it's the more this power is shifted back to here.
Mm-hmm.
And that
mm-hmm.
is true. But at the individual level, both of you hold some type of power. And the best sign is that, like, nobody gets everything they want. Right. It's like
right.
negotiation 101. Right. So you're not going to get everything you want, and neither are they. But that's where you need to know, like, again, what are my values? What are my non-negotiables? And what can I like what battle do I want to fight? Right. Like,
right.
That
pick your battles,
you need to
yeah.
have that clear going in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you too. If you've been seeing more like kind of remote or hybrid organizations, if you've been seeing like higher rates of burnout, because I feel like what I'm hearing about, and I kind of feel like hybrid is the way to go, right? But what I'm hearing is that in order to do that, there are like a lot of these meetings that don't really need to be 4-hour meetings, and that there's a lot of this kind of, you know, organizational time rather than doing time for a lot of the people in the organization.
You know, I think it really depends. I think, you know, there was a lot of folks to kind of put the jersey on, so to speak, for hybrid, remote, or fully in person very quickly. And one of the things we have to remember is that for those companies that, you know, there were companies that were remote before the peak of COVID and setting them aside, right? Like,
right.
You know, this experiment, right, it's unfair to say, well, what we learned during this time, I mean, yes, please learn lessons from it, but it's unfair to say, well, this proved that we can't
right.
work in a hybrid place, or we can't work in remote, or that, you know,
or
that face, you know, in person is not the way, whatever it is, because those
were
normal circumstances.
Yeah.
Right. Like they were not normal circumstances. And so we have to almost have like a, your organization has to almost do a secondary experiment. If that's even of interest, if it's not, then just own it.
Right.
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 But I think
right.
what works best for different people and different organizations is going to be different. For so many, you know, there's too many inputs to say that there's one way. And so to your question about like, well, where is there more burnout? I think it depends. I mean, there can be burnout in all of them. And it really just depends on those inputs of the person, the organization and the work. And so you just have to really then get down to like the individual level, which takes time. And then also there are industries though that tend to be more prone to it, and it's going to be those high touch industries. Right. But yeah, I mean, it can happen anywhere, anytime.
Yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense. And again, just in case our listeners want to reach you after the show, how would you like them to contact you?
The best way is just to go to my website, which is myname.com, and it's spelled RACHELBOEHM as in Mary.com.
Perfect. And we'll have a link to your website on the radio show page as well. And then, Rachel, do you have any upcoming events we should know about?
I do. I am speaking at the Emerging Trends in Wellness Conference here on April 11th, and then I have two other events in April, one with Nova Sherm. All of those details are going to be on my website, which has a current event tab to it. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. All right. Well, that is our show for today. I'd like to say thank you to Rachel Boehm for being our leading lady today, and a special thanks to all our listeners, both in the U.S. and internationally, as we are an international show. We'll be back for another Women Lead Radio show Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific Time and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time. It's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today, and thank you for listening, and have a great and brainy week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.